What's the email address of that?
903 chair. That's
good. Good morning, everyone. The time is 9 a.m. and we're going to open up this session of the Texas Commission on Fire Protection. Today's date is July the 14th, 2022. I'd like to welcome all of our guests in the audience tonight, and it's good to see all you commissioners here with us again today. We do have a procedural reading that I need to do right off the bat. Any invocation that may be offered before the official start of the commission meeting shall be a voluntary offering of a chaplain to and for the benefit of the commission. The views or beliefs expressed by the invocation speaker have not been previously reviewed or approved by the commission and do not necessarily represent the religious beliefs or views of the council in part or as a whole. No member of the community is required to attend or participate in the invocation, and such decision will have no impact on their right to participate actively in the business of the commission. With that, we'll get into our agenda, and with item number one, which is roll call. Roll call is number two. So, before we do the invocation, I would like to ask ahead of the invocation for a moment of silence for the Maxwell Community Volunteer Fire Department, which is in the Lockhart area. They recently lost two firefighter brothers, Jonathan Coco and Hunter Coco. I'd also like to ask that you think about firefighter chaplain Ed Stouffer of the Fort Worth area. He's a longtime member of the Federation of Fire Chaplains who recently passed away. And also keep in your thoughts Battalion Chief Travis Marr of the Austin Fire Department, who's currently battling a serious cancer diagnosis. And with that, I'll ask Commissioner Wilson to offer our invocation.
Okay. If you'll stand with me, please. We'll have that moment of silence, and then I'll begin the prayer. Lord Jesus, thank you. Thank you for life. Lord, thank you for the many blessings that you have blessed us with, and the opportunity that you made way for us to have eternal life. Lord, we pray for each one of these mentioned here this morning. We pray for the families. Lord, would you come in as the Prince of Peace, as only you can do in this time, and comfort every one of the individuals, all of the family members, all of the friends of these mentioned. Lord, we pray for our first responders throughout this great state of Texas. Pray for our firefighters, and we pray for their safety. And we pray, Lord, for their loved ones and their family members who wait for them to return home safe. And with that, we ask your blessing on us, Lord, that you would grant us wisdom in making decisions for these that serve their communities throughout this state, making decisions and making policy to keep them even safer. Lord, would you grant us the wisdom that you promise without reproach? Lord, we thank you for each one represented here today at this meeting, and we pray that you would just brood over this meeting, Lord, as we go about our work for today. It is in Christ's name that we pray. Amen.
Amen. If you'll join me, we'll pay our proper respects to the flag of our country. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. And now the flag of our state. Honor the Texas flag. I pledge allegiance to the Texas, one state, under God, one and indivisible. Thank you. You may be seated. And now we'll move on to item number two, which is the roll call.
Commissioner Cantu?
Here.
Commissioner Jones? Here. Commissioner Stillman?
Here.
Commissioner Coatney?
Here.
Commissioner Lowell?
Here.
Commissioner Vandegrift?
Here.
Commissioner Deb Velez?
Here.
Commissioner Morgan? Commissioner Wilson?
Here.
Commissioner Glenn?
Here.
Commissioner Sharma? Commissioner Hamilton?
Here.
Commissioner Smith?
Good. Okay. All right, commissioners, we do have a quorum, so we'll move on to item number three, which is approval of the commission meeting minutes. I stole that from you.
Oh, yes, sir.
So if you will take a minute, you've probably already done it, but take a look over. Does anybody have any questions about the minutes from our last commission meeting? If not, I'll accept the motion to approve.
So moved.
Motion by Commissioner Jones, second by Commissioner Wilson. Any other discussion? All those in favor signify by my saying aye.
Aye.
Are there any opposed? Motion passes. Item 4.
The Budget Strategic Plan Subcommittee may meet on July 14, 2022 during the commission meeting and provide a report relating to any recommendations developed by the subcommittee relating to modifications to the agency operating budget and strategic plan.
Commissioners, we met yesterday in the workshop portion of this month's activity, and we had extensive conversation and budget presentation from the budget division of the agency. Does anybody have any questions or any comments? Okay, no, we'll move on.
Number 5, reports from fire service interest groups and agencies on matters relating to their specific organizational purposes, functions, activities, and objectives, including reports from the Texas Fire Chiefs Association, the Texas State Association of Firefighters, the State Firefighters and Fire Marshals Association of Texas, the Texas Fire Marshals Association, the Texas Association of Fire Educators, the Texas A&M Forest Service, the National Fire Protection Association, Texas State Association of Fire and Emergency Districts, the Center for Public Safety Excellence, the State Fire Marshal's Office, and the National Fallen Firefighters Foundation.
Okay. We'll begin this portion with the Texas Fire Chiefs Association.
Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
Is this on?
Yep.
Yeah. Good morning. Donnie Norman, Texas Fire Chiefs Association. With June, we graduated another 50 people from our Fire Chiefs Academy, and we had 60 people in year one. We have another academy coming up in September. We're waitlisted for that, so the organization continues to grow. The programs are well supported by our membership. We just exceeded our 700 members in the association, so we're doing pretty well membership-wise. A lot of support from Texas Fire Commission on participating in our program, so everything is really, really going well for Texas Fire Chiefs Association.
Okay. Any questions for Texas Fire Chiefs Association? All right. Thank you, Donnie.
All right. Thank you.
Up next is the Texas State Association of Firefighters.
Made it just in time. Morning, Commissioners. Jim Reedy on behalf of the Texas State Association of Firefighters. Glenn sends his regrets, but our association has a board meeting this morning, so he was indisposed. He wanted to let you know that we're currently working on legislation for the next session to enhance firefighter safety and working conditions, but nothing else that we should raise any flags over. So we always work on our behalf of the commission, and we thank all the commissioners for all their hard work and all the staff also. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you, Jim. Mm-hmm. All right. The State Firefighters and Fire Marshals Association of Texas.
Mr. Chairman, I want to introduce the new president of the State Fireman and Fire Marshals Association, Mr. Chuck Richardson.
Good deal. From
Wild Peach.
Good morning. I'm Chuck Richardson. I am the newly elected president of the State Firemen's and Fire Marshals Association. With me this morning, I have Donnie Boggs, the first vice president, and our executive director, Tim Rutland. We just recently completed our conference. We had over 400 attendees there, so we had a successful conference, but we're hoping to make it bigger and better next year. We've made some important changes to our Constitution that's going to allow us to take and operate a little bit better in the 21st century, and we're looking at doing some more to include more people and make more training available. I'd like to send a special thanks to Director Wisco for being there to give us a report and being there all week to take and answer questions and interact with us, and for your Health and Safety Committee for helping present there for one of our training classes. And we really appreciate y'all being there. We've got a couple of schools coming up that we're part of, the industrial school next week at Teeks, and then following that, the municipal school. The numbers ain't as high as what we had liked them to be, but we're still working on that, trying to get more people there for the training, because we all know that firefighting is all about the training. We're making preparations for the next legislative session. There are several things that are going to be looked at. We have the next Fire Service Consortium meeting is scheduled for August 16th at the SFFMA office. So we look forward to seeing a bunch of y'all there for that meeting. We've got a lot of fire service partners in here that help us, and we hope that we're providing reciprocal help in return to them. If we're not, I'm the guy you need to talk to. The buck stops here, per se. But we want to give particular thanks to the TCFP for all that you do and the support that you give us.
All right. Thank you. Any questions for SFFMA? Congratulations on your new position. Thank you for being here.
Thank you, sir.
The Texas Fire Marshals Association.
Good morning. Thank you so much for letting us be here. Just to let you know, we too are beginning our legislative discussions. We have our first meeting coming up July 25th. So we'd also like to encourage any associations that would like to get in touch with us or let us know what you're working on. We definitely want to partner up if possible. In addition, we're preparing for our October conference this year. It is scheduled for October 24th through 28th. It'll be in San Marcos, Texas. We've got a draft agenda posted, and so I do want to let everybody know that you get CEs not only for fire marshal inspection-type things, but you get hazmat. There's some firefighter classes, and we also do some investigations. So if you need CEs that late in the session, definitely want to encourage you to attend that. Otherwise, the other thing I do want to say is we're bringing in the National Fire Protection Association because we are the state chapter, and then we're also bringing in ICC, International Code Council. We are the state chapter for them to teach as well. So if you need any of those CEs for continuing education, we encourage you as well. Thank you. Are there any questions? Thank you so
much.
Thank you,
Lord.
Thank you.
All right, the Texas Association of Fire Educators. The Texas A&M Forest Service.
Good morning, Commissioners. Good morning, Chief Wisco. Wes Moorhead, Associate Director, Fire Chief, Texas A&M Forest Service. Have a couple quick things to highlight. Since the last commission meeting, we've had reported of 2,500 wildfires, 170,000 acres. That's definitely above average. Numbers since January 1 for the state come in at 6,100 wildfires, just over 500,000 acres. That is driven, as y'all know, by the drought conditions that we've had in the state. The drought monitor was updated last Thursday. It shows that 97% of the state is in some level of drought. 66% of the state is in D2 to D4, which means it's severe, it's extreme, or it's exceptional drought. I know you're seeing it across the state. That has really driven our wildfire scenario. We continue to be upstaffed as an agency. Currently, we have 36 aircraft on station within the state. We have brought in resources from 33 other states to augment our firefighting capacity. As of today, we've got an extra 390 wildland firefighters and support staff, and that is in addition to three currently deployed TIFMIS strike teams and one TIFMIS hand module. One thing I wanted to highlight for y'all is that we do have an instant viewer established on our website. If you Google Texas A&M Forest Service, hit our homepage. We have a campaign button highly visible there that you can click through, and it'll show you any ongoing wildfires in the state. It'll give you the containment status, acres burned, et cetera. So super easy to access what's going on right now across the state when it comes to fire response. We also have 209 counties out of the 254 under burn ban status. Now, these are put in place locally, as y'all well know. We provide data as needed to the county for them to help make that decision, but we expect that number to continue to climb over the next several weeks. That's end of my report, unless there's any questions.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you. The National Fire Protection Association.
Well, good morning. The last time I was with you was in January. You were expecting an ice storm. So obviously I am the person of extremes because I came here and we know hot where I'm from, but not hot like Texas hot. So I send regards from everyone at NFPA, but also your beloved Randy Safer, who always checks in on this commission and holds it very esteemed. A couple of updates for you. We have many new research reports out. Some that are of particular interest to the fire service right now would be we just released a firefighter foam roadmap for the fire service that has just posted. As you know, firefighting foam is one of those things that we continue to track as an international organization. There's also many of those in the built environment that have been released, so I wanted to make sure you knew of that, that you can access through our website. Also, we launched, now this is the 100th anniversary of Fire Prevention Week, the longest running health and safety observance on record, 100 years, and so our heritage is strong. This year's theme is Fire Won't Wait, Plan Your Escape, and that is around the fact that in spite of the advances we've made, you're more likely to die in a home fire now than you were many, many years ago. We've gone from a 17-minute time to be able to escape in a fire to less than 2 minutes when you look across all audiences. So that is the impetus behind this year's theme. All those materials are available online. State Farm is donating Fire Prevention Week kits all across Texas. And so if a State Farm agent were to call the many fire departments that participate with you, they're not marketing you. They're actually going to give you something. We also have a new online learning module for wildfire. We've been praying for rain in North Carolina, but we have particularly been praying for rain for Texas because we follow that as well. And certainly we know about your wildfire risk. We hear a lot about California and the wildfires there, but you unfortunately have a huge wildfire issue here, and we know that the drought has amplified it. Something of interest to all of you is that there is federal legislation that's been introduced called the Pro Codes Act. And what that does is it is designed to protect all safety standards, and that would apply to NFPA, ICC, UL, any of the ANSI standards. But there are some organizations that feel they can just take standards and post them with no checks and balances to make sure that those are legitimate. So that federal legislation would protect all safety standards from copyright and protect them under that so you could trust the sources with which you get codes and standards. And that's across all agencies. We also just rolled out a brand new electric vehicle training module. This is free. It has multiple modules on electric vehicles. I know that's something that we're all following because of how many there are. You can access that online, and I'll provide that to Mr. Wisco, Chief Wisco, to be able to post it to your minutes. But that training is free. It is online, and then there's also in-person modules that are being delivered. And so we are meeting that need, as well as the public safety drone training, which is free. You can access that online. And also, we do have 6 firefighting standards that right now are open to public input. And so if you have any questions about those 6 standards specifically for the fire service, they are open for public comment. You can do that online. You do not have to be a member of NFPA to access that, but we want you to be engaged in the process, as well as there are hundreds of openings on our technical committees. I appreciate so much the opportunity to be here with you. And with that, it's the end of my report, sir.
Any questions for Kelly? Kelly, thank you for traveling from North Carolina to be here with us today.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
The Texas State Association of Fire and Emergency Districts.
Good morning. Clay Avery, the Assistant Executive Director of the Texas State Association of Fire and Emergency Districts, or as we call ourselves for short, SAFE-D. We are the Association of Emergency Services Districts, or ESDs, in Texas. In terms of what's going on in the ESD world right now, ESDs, as most of you may know, are taxing entities, so it is time they are neck deep in their budgets and tax rate setting process. Organizationally, what we are doing at SAFE-D, we just had our strategic planning in May, and that was very productive. We are focusing on working through our committees. A committee that's been meeting a lot recently is our education committee. So on the horizon, we're already getting ready for our next 2023, if you can believe it, conference, which will be February 2nd through 4th at the Kalahari Resort and Convention Center in Round Rock, same place we were last February. All are invited, and I bring this up because for all of you in your capacities as commissioners or with your individual organizations and all of you listening today, if you have something that you think ESD commissioners should know about, we have an open door, so please let us know if you think that you would have a good session for our safety conference. We are also, of course, turning towards, like many of our brethren associations, towards the next legislative session that will begin next January. I would be remiss if I didn't mention our legislative committee co-chairman and vice president, Mark Jack, who's here in his capacity with DFW Airport Fire Department. But he's also from Parker County ESD number one, and he'll be heading up our legislative effort that we'll be looking forward to, sort of, looking to deal with next spring with all of our friends here. So at that time, thank you for letting us address you, and if you have any questions.
Any questions for safety? Okay, thank you.
Appreciate it.
The Center for Public Safety Excellence.
Good morning. My name is Leonard Chan, current chair of the Texas Center for Public Safety Excellence Consortium, or the Texas CIPSE Consortium. The consortium strives to develop a collaborative relationship among fire departments through the Center for Public Safety Excellence's agency accreditation and professional credentialing programs. We will be holding a meeting and workshop on the afternoon of Tuesday, August 23rd, starting at 11 a.m. at the San Antonio Convention Center, with a focus on health and safety, call processing performance, and professional credentialing. Registration is online and free, and again, with lunch. CIPSE will be hosting online peer assessor training on August 24th and 31st. Registration is $400. The basic accreditation class is a prerequisite. As a 10-time peer assessor of other fire departments, I strongly encourage this experience to anyone in leadership positions in the fire service. I'm willing to take any questions. There's no lunch with the webinar. Thank y'all.
All right, thank you. The State Fire Marshal's Office.
Good morning, everyone. Just going to give you a few updates. We have some rule changes that we're processing through our organization. One of them is we're changing our – one of the rules that we sent out there for comment is we're changing our NFPA codes 1 and 101 from the 2015 edition to the 2021 edition. And any other reference document in those documents will also be updated. We're also making a couple of rule changes for our matrix, our penalty matrix for fire alarm sprinkler companies. So it's a little bit easier if they're going out and they're doing bad work, we're able to issue fines without having to go to a SOA hearing. And we're also doing a change for if people are applying for a license, regardless of whether it's a sprinkler fire alarm or their license, that they have to submit their scores. Right now, we're getting applications where they're submitting their information, but they haven't taken the test yet. So it's just bogging down the system. And so we're going to that new rule where they actually have to submit their test scores with the application and their fee. So, and we have Skip Gibson here with ISO. So if anybody's going through a survey or going to come up to survey, you have any questions, please let us know and we'll be able to answer those questions.
Okay. Any questions? Thank you. And the National Fallen Firefighters Foundation. Okay. I believe that closes out item five. Item six.
Report from Commission Representative to the Texas Fire School Advisory Board or representatives of the Texas Engineering Extension Services, TEEKS, regarding fire protection training provided by TEEKS through its Emergency Services Training Institute.
Good morning. Gordon Lohmeyer, Division Director, TEEKS SD, Brayton Firefield. Glad to be here this morning. I want to give you a brief report from our last advisory board. Excuse me, hosted May the 5th in College Station, Texas. The TCFP rep was present. We had a quorum for the meeting. A couple of kind of big ticket items that we discussed during our last advisory board were annual schools. The 2022 industrial school, which actually starts this weekend, registration is 753 compared with 501 last year. That school is actually up 33%. Very strong registration. Municipal school starts the week after. We're currently just shy of 1,000 participants for that school. It's down about 12% at the moment, but we could have some late registrations. We'll also host a legislative day with our partners from the SFFMA on the 27th. Several staffers and legislative reps will come to College Station for a visit. Texas A&M Task Force One, the House Bill 2604 equipment that's purchased through the Texas A&M Forest Service, and then they'll come out to the field for tours, constituents visits, a demonstration burn, and then we have a public demonstration night that's open to the general public. We usually have 2,000 to 3,000 participants there. We're well underway with our new classroom office building complex. It's a 39,000 square foot complex, 660 student capacity. It has a 100-person computer testing lab. And on the second floor, we'll move in most of our programs out on the fire field. So public sector, private sector, marketing, curriculum certification evaluation. So a big second floor collaborative center for a lot of our employees. So we're excited about that. We're anticipating to have completion by June of next year. And we just completed a parking lot. So we needed some more parking out at the school. So a 270-spot parking lot was completed 2 weeks ago, and it is in service. We've been doing a lot of site-wide seal coating and pavement repair, student shelter painting, so those capital projects are nearing completion. Our FSCEO graduation will be tomorrow. Really proud of those men and women that took part in that program. And once again, we start this weekend with our annual industrial school. Any questions?
Any questions for Teeks?
Okay. Thank you very much.
All right, moving on to item number 7.
Number 7, report from Commission Representative to the Homeland Security Council.
I have nothing to report. I don't know if Mike was able to go. I was unable to make that meeting. Their next one is August the 18th. All
right. Okay. Thank you for that. Moving on to item number 8.
A report from the Health and Wellness Ad Hoc Committee.
Good morning, Commissioners. Doug Boker with Sugarland. I've been asked by Chief Wisco to read into a record a statement from Commissioner Sharma, who is absent today for good cause, as I'm sure we all hope her best wishes in her upcoming childbirth. Her statement reads, thank you to all of your dedicated support to the Health and Wellness Ad Hoc Committee. Without you, we could not work on the health initiatives for our Texas fire service industry. We are truly appreciative. Our Health and Wellness Committee has had 2 meetings since April's commission meeting. All of our meetings are posted on the TCFP events calendar. If anyone is interested in joining, please check the calendar and join, as we would welcome any help. There are 3 main goals to discuss: mental health, top injury reporting, and cardiovascular health. The mental health video that we've initiated should be ready by the end of the year. Second, we'd like to thank Grace for all the work that she has done putting together the annual top injury report for all of us to review. Together, we can continue to make great progress for our industry's continued health and wellness. Next, for the cardiovascular initiative, we have a video presentation ready. Our committee would like to bring to the commission for approval for publication on the Health and Wellness TCFP page, where this video can be viewed by all departments and applied towards CE credit. And that's the end of her statement. I'd like to go on and share that earlier this week, we shared through the commission executive director the cardiac video that we put together in conjunction with McKinney Fire and Dr. Patel, their medical director. It was probably the longest response time we had this year for Sugarland Fire. We sent our video crew to McKinney for a day trip to shoot that video. And being cognizant of firefighters' times, we condensed that to a 30-minute presentation for a department to use as a primer into the individual cardiac health of the Texas Fire Service and Texas firefighters. Kind of building on Commissioner Sharma's statement, I, too, would like to recognize Grace Wilson's work on the injury report. We took her report and sliced it and diced it and found that we couldn't improve on the document that she put out that is available on the commission website. It's available under the TCFP website under Services Injury Report. And as a final reminder why that's important to the Texas Fire Service is, one, it helps with the new CE requirement that all firefighters are required to get some CE credit based on historic injuries in the Texas Fire Service. And then additionally, it helps identify the common injuries and exposures, identifies trends in injuries and exposures, identifies the need for training, and evaluates and finds improvements in procedures. And with that, that's the end of my report. I'll answer any questions you have.
Anyone have any questions for Chief Oakley?
Very good. Thank you.
Thank you, Chief. Thank you.
Mr. Chairman, if I could add, I just want to thank two members of the Health and Wellness Committee, Gabrielle Morgan and Chief Michael Meyer with Houston. They gave their own time to travel to Beaumont a couple weeks ago during their conference and do a presentation about the work that our committee's doing, and it was well received, and I think there'll be more discussion moving forward with SFFMA so we can work together on that.
Good deal. Thank you for that. Okay, moving on to item number 9.
Subjects for future commission meeting agendas.
Commissioners, does anyone have any item that they would like to see on our next commission agenda? Okay. We'll move on to item 10.
Future meeting dates.
So our next meeting date is Thursday, October the 27th. That is a 10 a.m. start time. And I'm assuming that at that meeting we will set our dates for next year, next year's series of meetings. Any questions or concerns about that? All right, we'll move on to number 11.
Mr. Chairman,
sorry.
I could ask, could we postpone 11? Pat McAuliffe is having some mechanical issues, and hopefully we can get him here
before
we jump into that. And if not, we've got somebody ready, but since he went through the trouble to get here, I want to give him a chance.
No, that's fine. We can skip and move to item 12.
Matters referred from the Firefighter Advisory Committee, including but not limited to, A, possible final adoption of the proposed amendments as follows. 37 Texas Administrative Code, Part 13, Chapter 425, Fire Service Instructors. 37 Texas Administrative Code, Part 13, Chapter 435, Firefighter Safety. 37 Texas Administrative Code, Part 13, Chapter 439, Examinations for Certifications. 37 Texas Administrative Code, Part 13, Chapter 463, Advisory Committees. B, proposed amendments regarding rule review of the following. 37 Texas Administrative Code, Part 13, Chapter 401, Administrative Practice and Procedures. 37 Texas Administrative Code, Part 13, Chapter 421, Standards for Certification. 37 Texas Administrative Code, Part 13, Chapter 429, Fire Inspector and Plans Examiner. 37 Texas Administrative Code, Part 13, Chapter 431, Fire Investigation. 37 Texas Administrative Code, Part 13, Chapter 433, Driver Operator. And 37 Texas Administrative Code, Part 13, Chapter 437, Fees.
All right.
Good morning, Commissioners. Daniel D. Year with the Advisory Committee. So I guess we'll just start with 425. Is that what you would like to do?
Yes, sir.
Okay. So we met back in June, and we spent a couple of days going over all of these that are proposed here in front of you today. But we'll start with 425. That was one of the easier ones we went through. We did revise this rule, and we're sending it forward to you for final adoption. With the minimal changes that you see in front of you, which I believe were just on the first page under A.
Okay. Any questions for Chief DeYear?
Dave.
All right. Commissioner Wilson.
Daniel, under 425.3, that first sentence, I think there's a misspelling there that should say fire instructor and individual must. It says and. Just a little typo there, it looks like. You with me?
Say that again, I'm sorry.
Okay, so 425.3.
Yes, sir.
Talks about the minimum standards, fire service instructor, and then right under that it says, in order to be certified as a fire service instructor, one, it should say an individual.
Instead of an. Okay.
It says and individual.
Sure.
Okay, that's the only thing.
Okay, any other questions? All right. This is up for final adoption. So with that, I will accept a motion with the changes noted.
Second.
Motion by Commissioner Cantu, second by Commissioner Copney. Any other discussion? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Are there any opposed? Motion passes. Thank you.
Okay, next on your agenda is Chapter 435, Firefighter Safety. I believe Chief Wisco is passing out an addendum to you for a correction that was in your book, 435. So under 435, we spent quite a bit of time on this chapter before we finally made several recommendations that we're forwarding on to you. Specifically, the biggest thing we changed was the typos under entities, which appeared on several different pages. But the biggest issue or contentious discussion we had amongst our group was under 435.3, number 8. And one of the concerns we had was some of the OSHA implications, and ultimately I think we, as a committee, pretty much came to a consensus that we believe a lot more research is warranted and required to define number 8 in this proposal. This is new language, so there was a couple of concerns and questions on how NFPA 1500 would interact with other chapters within our process, as well as OSHA. The other changes that we made were under 435.11, and we made some changes in A and C. Other than that, the rest were just typographical errors that we did see that we tried to clarify.
Chairman? Yes. Mr. Jones? I'm sorry. Commissioner Wilson?
I have a few things on this one, Daniel. In the very beginning, 435.1, and this is just things that we need to clean up since we're changing. But it talks about fire protection personnel, but personnel by definition is a group of people, and it's referred to in the singular form. In one it says, set of fire protective clothing for each fire protection personnel instead of each person. You see that?
Yes, I'm looking at right there at the first sentence under one.
Yes, sir. Oh. Now, if you go down to 435.3 under one, again, each on-duty fire protection personnel who engage, so we didn't, there's a mix-up between the plural and non-plural form of the verb. If we're speaking to them as singular, or about them as singular, it should say each on-duty fire protection person who engages, not who engage. If you go over to page 69, looking under 435.9, number 1, midway down, that should say for each on duty with a hyphen to stay consistent with the rest of the document. And again, it's saying each fire protection personnel. And the same thing with the plural versus non-plural form of the verb there. So we're inconsistent because if you look at 435.13, go down to B1, we specifically specify there specify an adequate number of personnel. So we speak to as with personnel referring to a group form. Same thing down in 435.17, number 1. In 435.17, if you go to 5, look at the bottom sentence. It says, to the rescue of the fire protection personnel that have entered. That refers to an object. Who refers to people? So that should say, of the fire protection personnel who have entered the IBLH atmosphere. Mm-hmm. That's all I have.
Okay. Commissioner Green?
I have several, and most of them are grammar as well. If we go to 435, 3, 6, and 7, and you mentioned that y'all looked at entities, I think it's mentioned, I think it's in other spots as well, but I'm looking at it multiple times here the other night and then again right now.
Where are you, if you don't mind me interrupting?
435.3, number the new number 6 and number 7.
What page are you on?
Page 68.
Okay.
The way it reads, when we're talking about an entity, if it was going to say the standard operating procedure of the entities, I think we could use it as the plural, but the way it's reading the entities, I believe it's got to be possessive. And I know that's changed in both of those.
We actually discussed that and wrestled with it. We've changed it. It was originally this way, and we made
right.
This change.
And that's what
changed.
And, yeah, I'm pretty certain it's going to be, and we can talk about it offline if need be, but I'm pretty sure that's going to need to be the possessive because we're talking about an entity and their an entity's SOPs. The other is at the bottom of page 71. At the bottom of page 71, commissioners.
Which section are you in?
I am in 435.7.
Okay.
Not the
point.
No, I'm sorry. I'm still on page 68 on that one. My next one's on page 71. On page 68, 435.7, it's the implementation of mandatory NFPA standards. And I think that needs to be an apostrophe behind commissioners at the commissioner's discretion.
Mm-hmm. You're saying beyond the word discretion, then the comma, correct? Not before.
No, I'm saying an apostrophe for the possessive for the commissioners. Okay. Commissioner's apostrophe discretion.
Okay.
Page 71 and 72. I had a chance to have a conversation about. I think I've got an explanation, but I would like it to be on the record today about. We talked about it at the last quarterly meeting, written complaints, the complaints not needing to be in writing according to the rule change here. I'm not sure how we'd like to address that, Chief Wisco, or who would answer that, but I would like that just to be addressed because we talked about it. I'm good with the explanation, but I'd like it to be everyone to be on the same page.
It's all right with Commissioner Jones. I'll speak for the committee, but the discussion there and what ultimately was decided was that to say written would imply that you would not be able to email something in. And we get emails, we get phone calls, we get formal letters sent to us. So by just saying a complaint, it kind of left the door open on any way we can get it. We have to, by law, have a contact person. So whether they call on the phone, they mail us a letter, they email it, we'll have some type of return contact information. So I think the committee felt, after talking to some staff members, that it was cleaner just to say complaint versus what form of a complaint.
And in talking to Rick Wallace yesterday, I felt comfortable because it was kind of what we were talking about last quarter. It's not allowing for an anonymous complaint. Because it's still, he said even if he gets a phone call in, he has to put all the information right in where they can get back with him. Right. Okay. The final one I had in this section, or this rule, was on page 74, and it's really just how do we, where it says appointed after 12-1-2024. Let's see what section that is.
435-31.
Okay. So, it was just as I read that, we have to, those of us that are already regulated must complete it prior to December 1, 2024. Anyone appointed, I guess it's really just an education for me. What does it mean to be appointed? Because what if we've got someone in the recruit school that's hired prior to 2024? They've been appointed to the academy. They've been appointed to our job. Where do they fall in? Do they get left out of that requirement?
Because I think they fall under B, where
C also explains
fire protection personnel must complete by December 1st, 2024. I think that would fall on there.
But that's what I'm asking. On B, it's anyone that's regulated. So I guess on a new hire, for those of us that put people through the academy, when do they become regulated and when are they appointed? Are they covered?
I think the language would be clearer if it said anybody hired after December 1st, 2024. That way it covers anybody hired. That's really what it's referring to, the way I read it.
Yeah. And that's why I just want to make sure we're clear on that. I was make sure we didn't leave a loophole.
Would that be consistent with your interpretation, Chief?
Yes, sir. Also under C, it kind of defines that after their appointment, they have 1 year.
Right.
So that, I believe that answers the question. I may be wrong.
I think it depends because some people are hired, not everybody's appointed. It just depends on the interpretation of the hiring agency. And if we go hired, then they have 1 year after it. Chief Wisco?
Well, we don't regulate everybody that works for a fire department. We only regulate them once they are appointed to a duty, and I think that's why that word is there, and it's fairly consistent with our other rules.
Your other language.
I believe that's why the committee stayed with that.
If they're hired in as a new employee, while they may not be certified and they're going into rookie school, would they be appointed as a trainee? Is that an appointment by the eyes of the commission? Because you're taking ownership of them as the department, saying this guy is a trainee for my department. Even though he's not certified yet.
I'll let somebody smarter than me. Rick, you want to chime in?
So our interpretation from a compliance standpoint is if the individual is appointed as a trainee and he is in the academy, then he would fall under the regulated requirements of that trainee going to school, and it would bridge between 435 and 427.
So I apologize. Is it 1 year from the date then they start? Because you said appointed as a trainee, because a lot of folks hire them, but they don't appoint them until they graduate. Yeah, so when is the 1 year beginning, I think, is what Commissioner Lynn's asking, and I'm asking.
By interpreting this way, it would be from the time you appointed them in our system.
That
1 year period.
So the day they're entered into the system, basically 1 year from that day.
And I'm good with that then. I was okay with the intent. I like the program. I just want to make sure that we weren't structurally leaving a loophole there.
Okay.
That's what I had on that rule.
Okay. Any other comments?
So to reiterate, Mr. Chairman, number 8 on page 68 was where our committee was concerned that probably needed more research before you moved on. I believe, Chief Wisco, didn't we have a comment or an email or a letter from somebody that addressed a concern in our meeting?
You might not have gotten an update. In the updated version I have now, it is struck.
It's struck. Okay.
But, yeah. Chief, do you mind reading that? Do you guys have that out there in the audience? Know what we're talking about?
Mm-hmm.
Do you all mind reading that section so they can understand what we're discussing? Please.
Sure.
Thank you.
This was the proposed new wording. It's number 8. It would have been on page 68 of what everybody in the room would probably have, but it's under 435.3, self-contained breathing apparatus, and it was a new number 8. In any workplace where respiratory protection is necessary to protect the health of the employee or whenever respiratory protection is required by the employer shall establish and implement a written respiratory program that complies with NFPA 1500 Respiratory Protection Program. The program shall be updated as necessary to reflect those changes in workplace conditions that affect respiratory protection use. Documents related to this rule shall be provided to the Texas Commission on Fire Protection upon request. So we had some comments from a couple of folks outside of our agency and our committees weighing in with concerns about that. And if I remember correctly, even Chief Wisco was somewhat concerned about the workload being placed then upon staff to have to receive all of these proposals from every single department that would be using respiratory protection. So we had discussed it at length and felt like that needed a lot more looking at before we move forward. But now I believe it's been stricken, so I don't think, you know, if you move forward today, that wording will not be in your motion.
Why could that not be? I understand what Chief Wisco is saying about being from someone on staff here, but why could that not be just part of the compliance check when they are inspection? Just we have to show, you know, department has to show CE, all the records. Why could that not just be part of the records that you have to show they have it on file? It seems, maybe I don't know enough on that one, but it seems like it was important enough to come up with the idea that we needed to have this plan.
So, commissioners, if you remember last meeting, you guys sent it back to committee. We had a joint meeting with the Firefighter Advisory Committee. And so where it came out of is one of the committee members had thrown it in on the last hour, because basically the concern was is that it doesn't really regulate anywhere in the standards for fit testing and annual physicals. So the committee member felt like bringing in specifically NFPA 1500.7.12, that would fix the issue. Talking with the firefighter advisory and the committee members, they felt like that was a huge change for the fire service and then having the risk assessments. And so they wanted to, the recommendation out of the firefighter advisory and the committee, and Chief DeYear can correct me if I'm wrong, was basically bring it back to the commissioners and have more research done onto it, whether it be through a subcommittee or something like that, just because bringing in that document, NFPA 1500, would be a huge change to the fire service. So it wasn't as much about the risk assessment stuff, although that was a component of it, and we do have to do risk assessment for PPE. It was just bringing in that document would be a huge change for the fire service. So where they're trying to fix the, you know, putting something in there for fit testing annual physicals, it would be a big change. So we felt it would be better to push that if the commissioners so wanted to a subcommittee to do a little and see what that looks like for the fire service, and kind of like we've done before, bring in different stakeholders and things like that. So that,
you're talking about the adoption of 1500 in its entirety.
1500 or that 1500.712, right? Yes, sir. And how that looked, right?
Do we, Mr. Chairman? Do we have a timeline on when we would be looking at this again? Because I don't want to, you know, put it in perpetuity to where we don't see it again. Because I agree with Commissioner Glenn, it's an important topic for us to address. Do we know when we'd be looking at it again? Approximately? No?
I do not.
I think it would be up to us to when we wanted to put it out there and if we want to form a subcommittee to look at that. Because everybody agreed that it was very important, but it just the 435 committee and firefighter advisory didn't feel comfortable adopting it right there without actually looking at what it all looks like for the fire service. So that's where so it wasn't that it wasn't important. It was just wasn't willing to make the recommendation at that time.
Commissioner Wilson,
is there little enough change in what we had in our packet and what was just handed us that you all could go through those changes for us?
Yeah, so that's I have the changes that you guys sent back to us.
Mm-hmm. I read this document.
Yes, sir.
It's what I went through, and that's So I'm just wondering if it's something that would take a, you know, just a few minutes for us to go through all the changes in this day.
Well, I only have 3 points that, and Chief Wisco can tell me if I, but I only have 3 points that you guys sent back to us, and so that should, it should only be the
okay.
3 points that we changed.
So
here.
It's just
that,
the three.
That I could go over there, yes, sir. And that was the risk assessment and the fit testing for 1500. And then I had a call from a couple of departments about the NFPA standards. That they didn't realize we were going through it, so they were in agreement with 365 days, and which is in 435.7, and then the other one was from Commissioner Coatney, changing from December 1st, 2027 to December 1st, 2024. So unless I've missed some, Chief
so
Wilson,
that's,
I think
that's the only difference we would see.
If I can add, the only difference in what I handed out this morning is that 435.3, number 8, is in the updated version I handed out that is struck through, and that
right.
was a motion made by the committee. In the original document, it was not. Nothing else has been changed in there. That was an oversight on our part when we were pulling it together.
Oh, okay.
And we missed striking through number 8, and that's all we changed. But
that's it.
Okay. We needed to get that out in front of you. So that is the only change in the revision.
Okay. Thank you.
If I could make one comment, Commissioner Wilson was talking earlier about the use of fire protection personnel, and again, I don't want to speak for the 435 committee, but they had extensive discussion on that, and they were trying to stay consistent with what is defined in our rules. That rule is intended for anybody in the Texas Fire Service that's regulated and appointed. Instead of trying to spell out each one of those positions we're talking about, the definition in 421 is fire protection personnel, so the committee felt it was most appropriate to use that. Now, while we have plenty of firehouse lawyers, we don't have a lot of firehouse English majors. So we clearly, over the years, have continued to make English or grammatical errors. We can fix that, but I think it was important to point out the reason you saw that consistently through there is because it matches a definition in a different rule that's used throughout the other rules.
And we, from the Texas Government Code, in 419, we're specifically talking about protective clothing. It says protective clothing for each of its fire protection personnel. So we kind of just pulled in.
So if that's the case, though, then it reverts over to my second point. You have to have the verb, plural or non-plural, that matches whether you're using the singular form or the plural form. So either way, there needs to be some changes.
Yes. Sure, and we can take care of fixing the verb, making sure that's right. It's just we took the language we had, and again, I'm clearly not the English major. You can tell that when I speak, but we'll certainly take it. We've made notes of it, and we can clean that up before it goes
okay.
for final or before it gets public.
Okay, commissioners, anything else? Does everybody feel comfortable with that? This is up for final adoption. I mean, does everybody feel comfortable enough with those changes in the comments to make a vote on it? Mm-hmm. Nobody's shaking their head. Okay, then I'll call for a motion. Is there any other discussion?
With the changes that have been discussed and the grammar proper, I make a motion we adopt this.
All right. Motion by Commissioner Hamilton.
Second
by Commissioner Lowell. Any other discussion? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion passes. Thank you.
Thanks. Okay, commissioners, under number 12A, number 3, chapter 439, Chief Wisco is passing out another handout for you with an update of the proposal changes. Yes, sir. Chapter 439, examinations for certification.
Thank you, sir.
So we had put a workshop together, if you would, the week of our meeting for the advisory committee, along with the curriculum and testing committee. And both committees had an opportunity to look through this and weigh in on a resolution. This has been somewhat of a contentious issue for a number of years. I believe it was 2017 we separated out the four sections to the firefighter exam. We and you have repeatedly heard a lot of comments from the field about Firefighter 1, Firefighter 2, awareness and ops testing. And between the curriculum and testing committee and the advisory committee, the proposed changes you have in front of you is what we came to. And let me look through this new handout. I believe it's at the very back. There's not a page number, but it's when you get to the graphs or the charts. It would be where the charts start under 439.19 number of test questions. At the bottom of that page, there is the term combined added into the basic structural category. And then if you flip to the second page in bold, you'll see where the changes and the additions have been made to it, as well as farther down where the distinction of what was being removed was crossed out. And it's really just those two pages is what we ultimately came up with between the two committees and are sending on to you for final adoption.
Okay. Commissioners, any questions or comments?
I would point out to y'all that if you're not familiar with it, on that second page of that chart where it says sectioned basic structural FP, where it says hazardous materials awareness and operations, those test questions have doubled. Just in case you're not familiar with it, as well as the amount of time to complete the test.
Any questions, comments? If not, I'll entertain a motion.
So moved.
Second.
Motion by Commissioner Vandegrift, second by Commissioner Jones. Any other discussion? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion passes.
Okay, next on the list is number 4, Chapter 463, Advisory Committees. So, based on our review, I think it would be best for me to entertain y'all's questions instead of presenting, because there were a lot of questions that were asked through this, and I know, I believe y'all have some passion and some feelings on how this plays out. So, the Committee on Committees, I know they're represented here today, so I'll let you all start the conversation, if you would.
Commissioner.
Well, from previous things in the firefighter advisory, what Commissioner Jones and I went through when we put together 435 and 427, visited with Chief Wisco, not taking this to the extent that we did prior as far as sending out for applications from all of our stakeholders because of the process, the time it took us to put those applications together and weed through them and then come up with 10 or 12 people to serve on those committees. What we have as a commission requested from the firefighter advisory and the testing and curriculum is to give them a little more leeway as to pick or at least look for the people that are the best of the best from all stakeholder areas to fill those ad hocs, to not go for applications. And the main one we were talking about was Marine and some other things that we're looking at. There's not anybody on the commission that I'm aware of or anybody on firefighter advisory that's an expert in Marine. Well, we know people in the state that are, you know, instead of going out for 10, 12, 15, 20 applications, let's go pick the people or request, are they interested to come in and help? It's just giving them, in my eyes, a little more leeway to progress on, report back and let us know what they're doing, but not hold not hold them back from getting this going, especially to fill all the things that we've got to do for Sunset and redoing all of the rules and regulations in the time frame that we've got to do it. First, my first part, and anybody else that wants to.
Any comments or questions for Commissioner Hamilton on that?
Is that strictly just for ad hoc committees or all committees?
Ad hoc. Whatever they deem necessary to help fulfill the responsibility that us as commissioners have given them in the time frame that this has got to be taking place.
Yeah, I'm going to look for the language. I thought that flexibility was written in, that the committee chair had that authority. I'm looking for it real quick.
Are you aware of that being written in there, Daniel? That gives you all the authority to...
I didn't believe we had the authority. I believe it sat with the commission.
Committee chairs may form ad hoc committees when in the judgment of the chair will enhance or provide guidance for specific purpose at time and time limit period. Committee chairs may determine committee selection, but membership is limited only to the ad hoc committee and will be disbanded once the purpose has been met. I think that's pretty flexible.
And that's where? What?
That is, it's on page 86. It's the second to last paragraph.
Hey, Commissioner Hamilton, to your point, I believe in the past, and I don't know if he's here yet, Chief Pat McAuliffe, the mm-hmm. chair of the Curriculum and Testing Committee, I believe that is the committee that is typically vetted out the ad hoc applicants,
right.
Not the advisory committee. We have never been involved with that selection process. And as long as we're talking about this, I'm just looking here. I'm not even halfway through my part of this presentation, so I'm going to agree with the chair here in a second. But not to get ahead of everybody, but you have me presenting to you here in just a few minutes on Chapter 421, and even Chapter 401 has some sections in it. When you saddled the advisory committee with reviewing all of our rules, we're all over it. It's great. I think it's going to be ultimately perfect. And the committee's done a great amount of work. But some of these chapters are extensive. And it's really difficult for us to weigh in, even from our committee, without additional input from somebody somewhere. And I don't want to use the word ad hoc because I don't want to confuse that. Ad hoc committees, we've having just for marine, airport rescue, wildlife, we have all kinds of ad hoc committees, special ops and so forth. So without using the word ad hoc, I believe there is an opportunity for us to request or you to appoint a special committee or a working committee or whatever term you want to use for maybe 30, 60, 90 days, just a short working committee that we could use folks to do some of the legwork for us to review this. Because when we look at Chapter 429, Fire Inspector and Plan Examiner, as a good example, and 421, Standards for Certification, I could use some subject matter experts to weigh in with an opinion when they read through some of these documents to see if it's still current with 2022 standards. And it's not to delay the process. As a matter of fact, what I really would like to do is find any way we can to streamline this so we're not continually tabling these chapter reviews for further conversations. So right now where I'm saddled with is if I say to you, which I'm going to in a minute here, on 421, we're somewhat at a standstill before we can complete the review. We need somebody else to look at this beyond us, beyond the advisory committee, to do some of the legwork. And it's a committee that if they could be assembled tomorrow and weigh in before our next meeting in September, we can knock it out in September. That's what I'm looking to do, is try to streamline it as quickly as we can. So I don't know if there could be an application process or whatever needs to be reviewed, but I believe it would have to come under Chapter 463 rules as to how that plays out. And that's I think, what we're going to ultimately be asking for from you in
good
just a few minutes.
So that's what we've been discussing over the phone, a few of us, you know.
So I'm following you. So, I mean, we've got an opportunity here to put a lot of things in motion and really extend the engagement level for the Texas Fire Service, right, to get more people involved in a lot of these conversations. There's a wealth of knowledge out there, and this might be an opportunity for us to tap into a lot of different levels of that. if we had something, and I'm spitballing here, but if we had some kind of a different layered approach to how, you know, we're talking about committees. So obviously this committee, you have the standing committees. We talked about having ad hoc committees, but now there might be another opportunity for a different committee level. Would you use the word working group, or almost like a task force or a strike team or something like that?
National committee.
This is a quick spin up. You give them a dedicated, hey, in the next 60 days, we need you to review this and give us some feedback, and, you know, in between your meetings. That's one of the things that gets so frustrating out there is by the time we start trying to go through selection process and picking people, it takes several months to do that, and it really delays the work taking place, where they had the ability to spool up one of these committees from, I don't know how you would do it, a list of applicants that maybe apply and make themselves available once a year and say, hey, I want to serve on a working group. And they may or may not even get an opportunity, but there's a list of people's names to pick from that might be subject matter experts. And what if you mentioned Marine, you're right, there's not a lot of Marine firefighters out there. But if some are interested in serving for the better of the Texas Fire Service, they can put their name on the list, and now these working groups have a list of people to call. Is that kind of where we're going with this, maybe?
Well, that's kind of what I was thinking, you know. And to top that, from some things that I've done with Daniel, this group right here is going to have to get a little more involved. And we're throwing the monkey to somebody else. And just like two or three of them I talked to at Firefighter Advisory, they had to move and work with their chiefs or whoever they were responsible to try to get things covered, because they're short-staffed already with illness or vacations or just people not being there. And then their bosses are going, I can't be without you for 2 days. Well, we've thrown the monkey back at the Firefighter Advisory and now requesting them to be here multiple days to do the job. And it's just that much more burden on them at home. And I'm not, but me and Commissioner Jones, we had our own committees, but we have in further on with that, I'm attending as many as I can, and I may be in a position where I can, and more so than some of the rest of you. But, you know, to my thinking, our jobs as commissioners don't stop every time the hammer goes down on quarterly meetings. We got to get more involved, and we got to make things happen, and we've got to lead. And some of us are learning as we go, of course, especially myself, but I turn to Daniel a lot of times and I go, what do you want? What can I do? How, you know, in different parts to give them assistance.
Commissioner Wilson.
So is one potential answer to that we affiliate more workshops with more commission meetings for us?
I'm just throwing it out there. I do not have an answer. I just know that there's other things I feel like we as commissioners can do to assist our committees that we have appointed or requested to do all the work, instead of just saying, well, y'all need to do this and y'all need to do that. Whatever fits. And whether we can do it other than face-to-face, and you know, we got to go with the Open Meeting Act and, you know, things that have to be done. We can't do this with this many people. I don't know the best way to go about doing it.
If I could try to make sense, I've heard a lot of ideas here, but I think to accomplish what Commissioner Hamilton is saying, and I do agree with what he's saying, and what Daniel said, and Commissioner Steelman as well, 463 is a great document, and I think we're really close to having something that's going to work moving forward. Where it gets rather complicated is when we need, I think you use the word, working groups. And if I'm hearing all the discussion correctly, I think to get more people involved, if 463 would just define what a working group is and what period of time they can function in, whether we give them 90 days or 6 months or whatever you all decide, define a working group in there, and each of those committees has the leeway, which they already do, but it says ad hocs, and so I think maybe we
could put ad hocs and working
groups. Yeah, call it a working group, a specified amount of time they would be applicable or able to work without having to be reviewed and updated. But it's not a circumvention of the application process, and I don't think anybody's trying to do that, but if you need specialized folks, it's a lot easier just to reach out in your own departments or reach out to folks you know that could come in and meet for 1 or 2 days or have phone calls. This working group wouldn't necessarily be subject to open meetings like the committees are and like the commission is, and they could really get some work done in a short period of time and assist each of the committees with bringing something back to you all in a timely manner. Because I do see, unfortunately, the workload in front of everybody with the rule reviews and the change in the law about the time frame. We're going to be chasing a bunch of these if we don't try to clean that up somehow. And I've thought about it some, and I've heard a lot of good ideas today, but I think it might be as simple as just defining in this rule a working group and what that would encompass and comprise and make that part of the rule, and I think that solves the problem. You know, your idea of more workshops, well, we could certainly do that. That's a challenge for everybody, coming here for 2 or 3 days now. So while the workshops work very well at this level, and I think doing more would be great, I think having these working groups that maybe don't fall under all the requirements that this rule is going to outline would be very productive. Just my view from what I've heard and what I'm seeing here.
Jim.
Well, so that's exactly what I was going to say, but that's really what we're looking for, is the committee chairman to have the ability to set up internal working groups so that we can get things done in a shorter period of time. We're all connected enough that we should be able to reach out and get subject matter experts in the fields that we need some, and it might only be one phone call.
How do you view that different than an ad hoc committee?
It's a smaller, very informal group is what it is.
To me, all you have to do is add the word working group into this verbiage, to this sentence. You have all the flexibility that you want. You're going to determine as the committee chair who you want to call, for what purpose you want, and you disband it when it's done.
I think that's really what we're looking for.
I mean, that to me is pretty simple. I don't know if we want to get in the idea of, well, 60 days. Well, then you didn't make the 60 days. Now you're going to come back to me and say, I want an extension. I think if you want the true flexibility, it's there. It exists. And it's on you to make that call as the committee chair.
Yeah, it really came up because we stopped working on something because we need the little help with it.
Right.
And so we had to stop working on it, put it off till next time. When if we had the working group ability, Daniel, myself, we could reach out to some people to help us with certain aspects of that rule that we're reviewing. So, yeah, I just a statement to put working group.
But from a historic standpoint, you would have to come back and ask us to assemble an ad hoc committee potentially,
right.
And now we're
right.
going to have to go through a vetting process to build that committee out, right, which is going to take.
Well, not on an ad hoc. On an ad hoc, it's the committee chair. Purview.
But to clean up whatever needs to be cleaned up and add the verbiage that needs to be. And I think, you know, and Daniel and Pat are just doing an outstanding job. They just want to, and I was not in a position, I felt in myself, to say, we'll just go do it. It needed to come back here. But we as a group need to say, and he could reach out and hit half a dozen people in a half a dozen different chapters and have the answers he needed before his September meeting. Didn't involve us at all, you know. You're welcome to, you know, let anybody know you want to, but just a nod from the commission, you have that leeway, and put the verbiage wherever it needs to be, make it happen.
Excuse me.
Oh, Commissioner DeVillis.
Could we just call it a short-term specialized network at their discretion, meaning one day, 30 days, one phone call? Get a committee of three or six, or give it to them so that they can get what they need in the term of, but call it a short term specialized network. And that's either a phone call, a Zoom meeting, or in person. I mean, it's at their discretion. And that way they can fit it in their time frame and it doesn't limit them.
Just with what
just
Commissioner Cantu is saying is, We leave here, we walk out of this room, and we go to making split-second decisions, and we call those people that when we need them, when it's necessary. We shouldn't operate any different here. We're representing these guys sitting here that do that. And so we give these guys the leeway to call those. And I think you limit it if you put this many people in this time frame, because if we tried to do it, we don't have that specialty. Or it's always going to be, man, we need that one person. Give them the leeway to make that phone call, add it in here, and trust them, because they got to come back to us with the rules. So if they find something we don't like, we just don't approve it. But give them the leeway to build it and come to us.
Mr. Chairman, if you don't mind, my experience in the past with ad hoc committees, they've often been long-term
committees.
Yes, they are.
There's always been an application process, and their charge has been usually significantly different than what we're discussing here right now. So I would not want the application process or this committee to be confused in any form or fashion with ad hoc committees, because that not only is that defined in this new revision here, but for 463, but it's been a process for a number of years that I'm aware of. So what everybody seems to be in agreement on is my committee is just looking to have the resources, because we still have many, many rules and many, many chapters to dig through. And a lot of that stuff is very specialized, and sometimes our committee has folks that can answer those questions. Other times we do get participation from across the state via email or letters or phone calls to weigh in, but it would be great for me and the committee that I serve on for them to be able to turn to just a group of people with an email and say, hey, if you tell me there's 50 people on the list, there's a chance that we might send an email to all 50 of them and say, hey, weigh in on this. If 30 of you have no experience in this, that's fine. But if there's five of you that do, weigh in with an opinion, and then it gives the advisory committee you're basically empowering us to get the right information to make the decisions to ultimately advise you on this rule, whether we're going to keep it as it is or we're going to make changes to it. So basically, you know, you threw this to our committee, and we're doing it, and it's not a problem, but you want it done right. And really, all I'm just asking y'all is if you can give me a little bit more help, we can actually do get it right. And we're not coming back here 2 years from now revising something, even for grammatical. As a matter of fact, if you want a list of people, I need somebody with Chief Wilson's grammatical background to get the punctuation right and past tense. Yeah. It's as simple as that. We really do need somebody to do that for us. So we're not having to take your time to discuss periods, commas, and apostrophes. That's something that we should be able to vet out before it gets to your level.
Yeah. Any other comments? Mr. Chan.
For the record, Leonard Chan, Houston Fire Department. I just have a few clarification questions. The advisory committees can receive public comment, correct? And do the advisory committees have the authority currently to solicit specific public comment?
Solicit?
Or request us?
I guess that's a question for the attorney. I'm not going to try to answer that.
Rosalyn, are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
So the question is, do advisory level committees have the authority to solicit, what was your exact word?
Public comment.
Just public comment.
Can they request public comment, like at a meeting or in paper form?
Or request certain individuals or entities that they deem as subject matter experts to submit public comment.
Say outside of a meeting, just go out and request public comment from anybody they deem as a subject matter expert about an issue.
Yes, they just need to be careful that they're not communicating with a quorum of meeting of members, because then it would be a meeting, but individuals like on the advisory committee could communicate with other public, you know, people in the public to get input.
Okay.
Does that make sense? They just need to be careful not to meet, to have a meeting that isn't posted.
Right.
And
did that answer your question?
Yes.
Okay.
Different question on the idea concept of working groups. Would that still be subject to open meetings and public records?
So we've had a conversation about possibly the concept of establishing short-term working groups that would work for these advisory committees to do specific pointed research about a topic that they're trying to resolve or work on or add or whatever. Would that be subject to open meetings type requirements and things like that for a working group of the short-term work group of people?
Well, I mean, I guess that the work group people, they wouldn't be composed of committee members or other folks.
Right.
Okay.
They would be.
I don't think so, but The main question would be whether they're making final decisions. And as long as they're not making the final decisions and they're just making recommendations, then they wouldn't be subject to that.
Yeah, they're being sought for their specific subject matter type input into a topic.
Right. I don't see that that would be a problem.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Mr. Chairman, to reiterate kind of what Leonard just mentioned, we're just looking for comment from these committees. They're not devising the rules. They're not changing the process at all. That would still be saddled with our committee to do that and then ultimately send it to you because you're the ones that make that decision. So this would not be a decision-making committee, and that's what I believe an ad hoc committee has the responsibility to do, and that's why I would like this to be something completely not confused with an ad hoc committee. It's no more complicated than the next time we look at Chapter 433, driver-operator, and one of the members of the Firefighter Advisory Committee talks to a driver and gets an opinion on one of the rules, then when they can bring it to the meeting and discuss it amongst us as a group, we'll obviously come to a consensus whether we're going to move forward with it or not. So we're just looking for the avenue to get those folks. And I suspect that there's a lot of subject matter experts or people with a lot of experience in some of these chapters we're getting ready to review that we're not hearing from. And whether you want to call it soliciting or not, it's just an opportunity for somebody, some new blood that wants to try to help the Texas Commission on Fire Protection. We're asking for it. And this would be an opportunity for them to participate if they would. We may not take their advice. That's still, and you may not take their advice. There's still a vetting process for that. It's just an easier way to gather the information.
Daniel, add a separate line for working groups and have a definition.
That's I don't know if you're talking about taking it back to the committee and committees review, or if you're trying to finalize that here today.
Is there anything else that you're looking for, though?
No, that's what I was asking for today, was for the help in the future as we, because you got six rules or chapter reviews here in front of you, and there's at least one of those. 441's coming up, I believe, in our next meeting in September, and that's going to be something that we need a lot of input on, a lot of expert.
I think that's pretty simple, just add another line that's specific to that and put a definition with them.
Yeah. I've made this very clear from the beginning that we've got a unique opportunity here in developing this chapter. And I'm in no rush, and I don't want that to come across. There is no hurry. I want us to get it right instead of us pushing something through quickly and adopting it and then struggling with it beyond that. So we need to take more time. I've got zero issue with that to make sure that we get a lot of these traps run and work through the weeds on it. I mean, I'm enjoying this conversation. I mean, it's taking us down some different pathways that, you know, historically we've never gone down. So I think we've got a great opportunity here. And we've got great work already done. Just, you know, I can still foresee the need for just maybe a couple more tweaks. That's just where I'm at right now with it. Commissioner Glenn.
Then would it be appropriate or in order to make a motion to send this back to the committee, give them a chance to work with some of these tweaks and work with some of the language and have some further conversation?
I think so. I mean, thought to the commissioners. That's kind of where I'm at with it, but I want to make sure that.
I'll put that motion on the table. So
we actually need to send 463 back and say, but he's already stated that what we need to do, because they don't meet again until September. Well, then that's just pushing it down.
Not back to Firefighter Advisory, back to the 463. Is it when you're referring to sending it back to the committee, send it back to the set committee on the chapter.
Right. And that's who?
That's me.
You're 463.
Well, okay. Committee on committees.
Okay. Okay. Well, we're just trying to get this done. We just send it back. Okay.
Commissioner Cope.
The only thing I was going to add is, you know, when we're talking about working groups or public comment, there's a big difference between those two. A working group is tasked with a specific focus of what you're asking them to accomplish. Public comment can be anything. They may not be subject matter experts or professionals in that field. As you pointed out, marine firefighting is a good example. ARFF's another good example where you're going to draw in people with a specific background to actually be part of that working group. Anyone who has any certification can make public comment, but they may not be weighted in carrying the information that you want to consider. So, like Commissioner Hamilton, I'm kind of tired of the circle that we're going in as far as conversations about the committees and some other stuff. I'm trying to figure out how I can get something on the agenda for the next thing, since we've already gone past that agenda item, to put things on future on future meetings, which I'll bring up to you in a little bit. But whether it goes to committee or not, we need to have a meeting within a week or two, take the action and move forward with it, so we can start getting the process in place, because a lot of these are going to need to be reviewed. A working group, I think, is a perfect model for doing this. It's something that, you know, Chief DeYeer, Chief Hamilton, anyone who's over any of these advisory boards or boards can focus in on, task specific individuals to do it based on their interests. It also allows us to have individuals understand the background and the depth of work that the committees do, the advisory board and the other committees that go out there and work on. And as we start to cycle off existing members of our different boards, these people already have a vested interest in it, and maybe we'll have new applicants for some of these other board panels that we want to see. So I think this is a great marriage of what we're trying to accomplish long term.
One second, Commissioner.
Any other comments?
Commissioner Cantu? Yes, Roslyn, if it's possible that we can just take it back to the committee, I can then work with the staff to add that language in, and then put it out for an email vote within the commission. And that way it's done within the next 2 weeks.
So, Rosalind, were you able to hear that?
No, would you repeat that for me?
Can I make the revisions, because this is up for vote today, to the additions that we want to add, then give it back out to the commissioners, and then have an email vote for it?
Can we do if we did not take action on this item today and allow a couple of weeks' time for revisions to be made to it, is it possible for us to do an email vote on it once it's completed in a couple of weeks without having to wait until the next quarterly meeting?
No. Y'all would have to have another meeting.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Yep.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Can we... I was going to say, can we just approve it, and then knowing that we're going to make this one revision where we're going to add a definition to the working group, and we're going to give the committee chairs the authority to oversee it without the commission?
Bring the whole thing up again.
Yeah. I would think we'd have to know what that definition is.
Probably. Probably correct.
Do you have that wording in mind, what you want to add in there? And just read it into the deal while we're having the meeting. Read that in there with those changes, this addition, and vote on it.
Can you give me half an hour, and then we'll come back to it?
I would say so.
Go to something else.
I guess I'm kind of on with you. But, I mean, you know, we've got an opportunity to get this right. I guess I'm kind of lost as while we're trying to get it done today or that. Why, you know. I mean, I agree with Commissioner Glenn sending it back to the subcommittees and me. I mean, but that's just my opinion. I'm kind of lost while we're trying to hurry and push it. Because, I had a lot of notes. Like Chief DeYeer talked about, I had a lot of notes in here just from different things that was in here. And I was on the committee myself, but, you know, all the committee meetings were in Zoom, and, you know, how those meetings go sometimes. So it's just, you know, I mean, we don't really have a definition as to, you know, how the term limits are going to go, and giving direction to the committees on, you know, what that looks like. So, in my opinion, I think there's still, and maybe it's just me, some unanswered questions that need to be.
That's fair.
Any other comments?
Well, but in agreement with Commissioner Jones, like we're talking about, you know, if we would give Daniel the go-ahead in whatever form that we have to do it, we're not coming back together until October unless we call a special meeting and all come back to Austin. If we could do that, then he could have these six chapters and have input in the areas in which he needs it before his September meeting.
Mm-hmm.
And be partially done with some of the tasks that we've given him by our October meeting. I agree with you, but I don't agree with, like, Commissioner Cokeney, we're just moving on down the road. Well, we'll get to it. We'll get to it. Well, we need more of this. We need more of that. Well, that puts us into next year by the time you turn around three times, because we only meet one more time. And he's got a deadline from sunset. We need this stuff done now. And he's got all the rules that their committee's got to do within a time frame. There's five or six of them right here. I don't know.
Well, to that point, Commissioner, I don't know if I misspoke. I don't feel we're under a time constraint.
Well,
I'm under a process that I would like to be more streamlined. But we have so many other chapters to review, so it's not like if I don't get the committee or a group of folks to weigh in on Chapter 421 now, we're going to have to get to it at some point. We got plenty of other chapters to look at in the meantime. I'm getting ready to present six of them here to you in just a minute, and half of them are pretty much cut and dry. We're just right. moving forward. So to Chief Chairman's point, I don't feel we're under a time constraint here. I'm not asking for that. If it came out that way, I apologize. I just would like it when we get to those difficult
sure.
decisions that we have some sort of a streamlined process so it doesn't take a year for us to get the answers that you
right.
ultimately need.
But this is, that's the reason we're doing this, is to identify what those processes look like so that everybody understands. Now we're talking about adding, some new steps in that, and we're trying to rush it into it, and I'm not sure why we're trying to rush into it, I guess is my point.
I can add some historical perspective here for as long as I've been involved with this agency. We seem to rush through a lot of things, and then we chase it for a couple of years. I think 463 is intent, and I think the work that's been done so far, we're very close to having something that's going to serve this agency well for years to come. I just think maybe there's some adjustments that still need to be made to make sure that intent is clear, and so that there are no questions as we get 5, 6, 7 years down the road, and some of you aren't here anymore, and I look at it a lot of times like collective bargaining. The intent of an article always is debated. But the people that wrote the article and were involved were 25, 30 years ago, and they're not around to speak to the intent anymore. I think if you spend just a little more time to make sure the intent is clear in the document, that helps whoever follows all of us in this in abiding by this rule. I guess what I say that to, instead of repeating history, that I've seen a lot here where we chase a rule with amendments and we need to fix that. That was kind of messed up. And let's just get it right the first time. I'm not really taking a side here. I'm just giving you a historical perspective. Yeah. I've seen that happen a lot.
Any other comments?
I'll make a comment, since I like to hear myself talk. I don't think we're rushing into anything. I think we spent a lot of time talking about what we're going to do the next meeting and the meeting after that, and it takes so many cycles to get anything approved. And I'll give you a perfect example. We have something on the agenda that we've been talking about for three meetings related to reduction of fees, and in the language here, it still has the old fees in it because of how long it takes for something to be reflected of the action that we do. All I'm asking for is that we define a working group so we can give any of our subcommittees, our boards, anything, an opportunity to pick a working group to get to move forward. That's all I'm asking for. Because if we keep putting things off till a future meeting to make a decision about what the definition of this is, then we have to wait for another month before it's officially adopted. Like Commissioner Hamilton said, we're into next year before we even give them the opportunity just to leverage those people. I'm not saying rush into something. I'm saying give them the tools they need to make informed decisions to bring us quality work back to us. They already do a great amount of work. The problem with it is we put so much work on the back of them. You know, their backs are starting to bend and they're going to break pretty soon if we don't give them the ability to draw in some additional people to help vet the data. That's all I'm saying. I'm not saying rush through it. I'm saying give them the tools they need to make their job easier.
Any other comments? Mr. Chan.
Again, Leonard Chan from Houston Fire. Just a few questions in regards to what Commissioner Cantu is referring to, asking about. Even though an email vote is not allowed, would a video conference be allowed as long as the public notice for open meetings is met?
Rosalyn, did you hear that?
No.
The question is, no, that's all right. The question is on this topic of 463, would a video conference be permitted?
According to Government Code Section 551.125.
There are some requirements, you mean, for the board to meet?
Yes.
Yeah, I mean, for the commission to meet. Yes, there are some requirements. There would have to be, the chairperson would have to preside at the physical location of the meeting. But they can, if you guys have the ability, you can have a video conference.
Okay.
And also, according to
technological ability, but
right,
we can work out the details of that.
Okay. Here's a follow-up question.
More on a just comment on Government Code Section 419.007 says the commission shall meet at least quarterly. That means the commission can meet more than quarterly. Correct?
Yes.
All right. That's all.
Okay. Any other comments? All right, we do have a motion and motion by Commissioner Glenn and a second by Commissioner Jones that are on the floor at the present time. And would you repeat, since it's been a little bit, would you repeat what your motion was?
Send this back to the committee, which would be the 463 committee, for consideration of the changes and the tweaking that has been suggested and needed.
Okay, and that was what your second was to. All right, so a motion to send it back to the committee for further review and comment. Are there any other discussion or questions on that motion? All right, we'll call for the vote. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All right, let's do show of hands. All those in favor signify by saying aye. Show of hands. So the village, Stillman, Jones, Glenn, Wilson. All those opposed? Hamilton, Vandegrift, Lowell, Coatney, and Cantu. So, wait, let me do my numbers again real quick. Show, throw your hands back up. All right. So, what is that? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. So, 5-5? Now what?
That's the reason the chairman doesn't vote. Well, it'd still be 5-5.
So, Rosalyn, we just had a vote with a tie.
That would mean the measure did not pass.
Okay. Thank you. Mm-hmm. All right.
What was her final say on a video meeting?
It's acceptable. There are certain limitations in the government code that have to be met.
Do we have the ability to meet those easily? I don't know what they are. How many would someone have to actually be here?
If I interpret it correctly, the chairman would have to be here in Austin. We'd have to set him up here with a video conference capable computer. And then each of you would have to have video capability, or we'd have to make that available to the public, so we would have to have an agenda posted and the recommend or the required amount of time. The public would have to have access to that Zoom meeting. But it can be done. It'd be a challenge. I mean, there would have to be somebody, the presiding officer for that meeting would have to be here.
Could that presiding officer appoint an interim presiding officer, if you were unable to attend?
Oh, I would be able to attend.
You would, okay. I don't know. We've never done it. I don't know anything about it.
I'd like to suggest that we give Commissioner Cantu 30 minutes to come up with some verbiage to make this to where it'll and give us that opportunity to look at it, see if it's something we can accept and pass.
You good with that?
I mean, because we get past that step, And then we can entertain a motion for getting the specialized working committees or whatever, right? I mean, that's the steps we're looking at. If he gets the verbiage, we could make a motion on that and get that through, then get the second part of that through, and we'd be on our way, wouldn't we?
Mm-hmm.
That just gives the committees the opportunity. We're talking about sending it back to the committee. That just gives them the ability to actually act on it then without further delay of coming back to us and talking mm-hmm. to us about the same topic again.
Okay. You think 30 minutes is enough?
He said it was.
You good with that?
I'm writing right now.
All right.
So if we table this and come back to it, we should be able to do it.
All right.
I got a little government.
All right, so help me out, though. We've already had a vote. Now we're going to do a vote again to table it.
For 30 minutes.
Yeah, we're going to do that. We're going to take a 30-minute recess and get our heads wrapped around this a little bit better. So with that, we'll adjourn, and we will start back at 11:15.
Okay.
Please turn off your microphone.
Turn your mic on there, Paul.
Thank you, dear.
You're welcome.
It's 11:21. Texas Commission on Fire Protection is back in session. Commissioners, I've been asked that if you'll make sure to speak better into your microphones. The audience, especially the ones in the back, are having a hard time hearing us. I know they made some adjustments up there on the console, so just please be cognizant of that. And we left off with the committee meeting, and I understand there may be some of our audience members that would like to make a public comment on just this conversation that we just had on 463. Mm-hmm. So at this time, I'm going to open the floor up for anyone in the audience that would like to step forward and speak on that. Mm-hmm. Maybe I was misinformed. Okay. All right. Well, if you think of it and you want to come up, the podium is open. So I will, at the recommendation of Commissioner Vandegrift, the committee went into a meeting in the conference room real quick to try to devise some language on this one particular topic with 463, and we'll hear a report from the chairman of that committee, Commissioner Cantu, at this time.
I do appreciate the extra 30 minutes to go get some language down. Unfortunately, I don't think the committee's is quite ready to present for a final vote that we adopt this rule. So I would make a motion that we actually do table this.
Okay. So I have a motion on the floor in regard to item 12A4, that we table this.
Second.
Motion by Commissioner Cantu, second by Commissioner Glenn. Is there any other discussion? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Are there any opposed? That motion passes. Thank you, Commissioner. Moving on to B.
So, Commissioners, in front of you under item 12B, number 1, chapter 401, beginning on page 95 in your book, I believe, if that's correct. This is not up for final adoption. One of the concerns we have is right there on page 1 under 401.3 definitions, number 1, referring to the advisory committee. I think you guys just tabled the 463, and pretty much this is tied to that. So I think we should pretty much wait until 463 is adopted before we can move forward with 401. Otherwise, the rest of the document looked great. We're certainly, you know, I would think we would all want any public opinion, but we did not see anything to revise in there, and I don't think it reflects in your book. Just double-checking. Actually, let me clarify something. We are making the suggestions and the recommendations to y'all to change wherever it says executive director, that wording be changed to agency chief. And that's on numerous pages in this document. Mm.
Okay. All right. And these are up for just review?
Yes, sir.
All right. Commissioners, any questions or comments on this? All right, so I'm a little sidetracked now. So we need to take a vote on this to move it to the next step. All right, so no questions, no discussions. All right, I'll entertain a motion.
So moved.
Second. Motion by Commissioner Glenn, second by Commissioner Coatney. Any other discussion? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Are there any opposed? Motion passes.
And this is for publication with the recommended changes, correct?
Yes.
Okay.
Was this for final adoption, Chief?
No.
Okay.
So it's going to be published now, and they'll take public comment, and it'll come back in October for final.
All right. So B2?
Yes, sir. B2, Chapter 421, Standards for Certification. So we spent a lot of time discussing this, and we did have several sections that we were making amendments to. I think there was a concern about wherever it referred to employing entity, that wording say regulated. I don't see that reflected beginning on page 116 in your documents. But I believe when we get to the final adoption states that would be the recommendations coming out of the advisory committee. But this is one of those rules and chapters that we're wanting a lot more input on. There's several sections on page, not page for you guys. It would be
421.3 minimum standards set by the commission. This entire section is going to need a lengthy review from a lot of folks, and we want to make sure that the advisory committee isn't omitting any other information that would be relevant to us making a final suggestion to revising this and sending it to you. So this is exactly what we were using to prompt the discussion about the advisory committees and committee on committees. I think when you do finalize 463, hopefully it will give us the empowerment to seek the expert opinions on 421 before we can move it forward to you. It's a pretty lengthy chapter. There's a lot of things in there that it's been a long time since it's been reviewed. This entire chapter was originally published in November of 1998, so it's been a considerable period of time. It's been revised 5 times over the years, but just some simple little sections, but it warrants a lot more look before we would be comfortable with it.
Okay. So I guess to summarize, you're not ready to move this one forward?
Correct.
All right. So, commissioners, any thoughts, comments on that? All right, so for action, anyone want to make a motion of how to proceed with it?
Need to do anything if we're not.
Take no action?
Would it be a no action?
A no action or a table?
I think maybe just clarify, leave it with the advisory committee until they're at a point that they have something to bring back to you as a proposal.
Yeah, but is the appropriate process for that a no action or a table? If table, it's going to come back on our next agenda.
What's our attorney saying?
So, Rosalyn, are you
there?
That's
why we got her here.
Yes, I'm here.
So, we have an item B2. I'm sorry, 12B2 on the agenda. The advisory committee needs more time with it. And so we're trying to decide if the best course of action is to table it till our next meeting or to take no action at this time.
Well, you can do either. You just would under future agenda items, you can just add it to the next agenda. So I don't think it matters
okay.
which one you choose.
Okay. We'll take no action on B2, 12B2.
Okay.
Thank you, Rosalyn. Okay, moving on to B3.
So are we now in Chapter 429?
Yep. Yes.
Okay, what you see in front of you is where we're at with the review process for fire inspector and plans examiner. I'm looking to see, I thought we had some discussions about where it referred to. I'm not sure it applies to this chapter, but I'm looking here real quick. No, so there's no additional comments other than what you see in front of you.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. Commissioners, Chapter 429. I'll entertain them. Are any other discussion or comments? If there are none, I'll entertain a motion.
So moved.
Motion by Commissioner Glenn, second by Commissioner Jones. Any other discussion? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Are there any opposed? The motion passes. All right.
Okay, number 4, Chapter 431, Fire Investigation. You can see on each of the subchapters, we changed the heading from Fire Investigation to Fire Investigator. This is also a 20-plus year document that was originally generated in 1998. It's been revised numerous times over the years. What you see in front of you is what we were comfortable with. We made very minimal changes that was other than what we've already discussed, and there was a lot of discussion about it, but we ultimately left the document as you see it.
Okay. All right, commissioners, any questions or comments on item B4? Seeing none, I'll entertain a motion.
So moved.
Second. Motion by Commissioner Glenn, second by Commissioner Coatney. Any other discussion? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Are there any opposed? That motion passes.
Okay, number five, chapter 433, driver operator. There was a couple of concerns. Let me see what page in your book it would be. Under 433.5. I guess it was a question on our end about where it references chapter 439. That was another one of the issues where we felt like we needed to do more work and get more opinion, because now we're basically dissecting two separate chapters at the same time.
Okay.
There was a couple of grammatical changes that were made. Driver operator, the D was capitalized, I believe. That should be reflected in, well, it's not. That was one of the grammatical changes that we were recommending.
But I understand correctly that you would like more time with it?
Yes, sir.
All right.
Hold on. If I could clarify for him, I think you resolved your issue with that because the changes that were adopted before 39 earlier about changing the number of test scores.
Okay.
So I think that's been corrected.
I stand corrected. He is right.
Okay. All right. Commissioners, any questions or comments? Okay. For item 12B2, I'll entertain a motion. Motion by Commissioner Hamilton.
Second.
Second by Commissioner Jones. Any other discussion? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? That motion passes.
Okay, the last one for me here is number six, chapter 437, fees. Basically, I'll entertain any questions. It's just a simple, it should be pages 148 through 151 in your book. There was a lot of discussion from the advisory committee on some of this, but most of it was clarified by staff.
All right. Commissioners, any questions?
I have a comment.
Commissioner Cope.
Question to Chief Wisco.
Yes.
Chief, when will the new rates be reflected in the rule changes?
Okay, so what might be causing some confusion, I heard you make mention of it a little earlier in some of your comments. The changes to the renewal fees, which you all made, have taken effect now. But what happened here, this 437 was required for a rule review. And that rule review started before you had finished with the process of changing the renewal fees. So, essentially, this rule review is completely separate, but what we had to publish was the current 437. So it's in its review stage, but it doesn't reflect the change that it took effect the second week of May, 20 days after your April meeting. So the renewal fees have been changed to 60. It's not reflected in this rule because this rule is under review as it stood in March when we had to put it on the agenda to start the review process in April. I probably just confused the hell out of everybody.
Yeah, so the appropriate course of action today would be what?
I think if they don't have any other suggested changes, which is what I heard, it's just like the rest you've just done. It's for a proposal now, and it'll come back to you for final adoption without any changes. It has nothing to do with the change you've already made to renewal fees. That is already in effect, and that will not be affected by no action here.
That answers your question?
It answers my question, but I'd like to see it reflected in here, so I would ask for it to be sent back to be modified.
I'm sorry, say that one more time.
I hear. We can send it back to the Department of Advisory, and we'll make the change about showing the corrected fee amount for the renewal fees, so that when it comes up for final adoption, it reflects the change that took place in it.
What he said.
Okay. So a motion by Commissioner Coatney, if I'm understanding right, to send item B12B6 back to advisory.
Second.
All right. Motion by Commissioner Coatney, second by somebody over here.
This whole side.
All right. Commissioner Wilson, you haven't done one in a while. Any other discussion? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Are there any opposed? That motion passes.
We're going to make sense of government, yeah. Just give us a chance.
All right. Moving on to item 13. unless, is there a better timing wise to get Pat back in here with item 11? Does it matter? No timing issue on your part? Okay. We'll move on to item 13.
Proposed rule change of 37 Texas Administrative Code, Part 13, Chapter 427, Training Facility Certification.
Mr. Chair, for some reason, and this goes back to what I was telling y'all yesterday while we were putting this together, we had a few gremlins. There's a whole section of the 427 that got left out, so I'm going to hand that section out. Let me tell you exactly where it starts. It starts on page, it goes in front of page 161. So it's the subchapter B, which currently is missing from the document we have. So we're not changing anything, we're just giving you a handout of a section that got omitted for some reason.
Thank you.
Hope that made sense.
Yep.
I'm confused though. I'm almost done with handouts for today, too.
Subchapter C.
I'm sorry, Chief Wisco, now where are we at with this one?
In front of which page?
This is a proposed rule change to 427. This is your committee, Commissioner Hamilton's okay. committee. This is your first time seeing their proposed changes to that rule. And then what I handed out was a section that had inadvertently been omitted. So this is the first time viewing for you guys. It's up for proposal right now.
This has not been to firefighter advisory, you think, correct?
It has been to firefighter advisory because there's so many changes to it. We wanted to get it released to the stakeholders. So the best way to do that was to have it in their notebook. But okay. They've only looked at it. They've seen it. They don't really have any comment on it right now because it has to come to you first.
Mr. Chairman, I make a motion that we move 427 to the Firefighter Advisory Committee for review.
All right. I have a motion to move this to Firefighter Advisory for review. Second by Commissioner Hamilton. I'm sorry, motion by Commissioner Jones, second by Commissioner Hamilton. Is there any other discussion? All those in favor signal by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Are there any opposed? That motion passes. Item 14.
Proposed rule review of for the following. A, 37 TAC Chapter 441, Continuing Education. B, 37 TAC Chapter 443, Certification Curriculum Manual. C, 37 TAC Chapter 447, Part-Time Fire Protection Employee. And D, 37 TAC Chapter 455, Minimum Standards for Wildland Fire Protection.
Mr. Chairman, these are the next four rules up for review by the mandated review schedule. So you can determine today where you want these rule reviews to go, but I think you've already made that determination prior. They all go to Firefighter Advisory.
Correct.
So this is just initiating the review process.
Mm-hmm. All right. Commissioners, do you want to vote on all these at once? Is everybody comfortable with that?
I was about to say, if we can make that motion to move them all at once, I make that.
Okay. You making that motion? Motion by Commissioner Vandegrift, second by Commissioner Wilson to move all four of these to firefighter advisory for further review. Any other discussion? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Are there any opposed? The motion passes. All right, before we get to 15, I think I'd like to circle back to 11 now and get Pat to come up for us.
Number 11, report from Curriculum Testing Committee regarding new curriculum. A, 37, Texas Administrative Code, Part 13, Chapter 467, Fire Marshal. B, 37, Texas Administrative Code, Part 13, Chapter 469, Technical Rescue. 1, Subchapter A, Minimal Standards for Rope Rescue. 2, Subchapter B, Minimal Standards for Surface Water Rescue.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'm Pat McAuliffe. I'm the chairman of the Curriculum and Testing Committee. What we are bringing to you today is our intentions to, with your approval, to move forward on submitting curriculum and supporting documents for Chapter 467 for Fire Marshal Certification and also for Chapter 469 Technical Rescue Certification. I'd like to just give a kind of a little background about where we are and in our process. The Fire Marshal group, we put together an ad hoc committee to help with the development of the curriculum, the skills, and associated test questions in an effort to make sure that everything is in compliance or in congruence, rather, with the IFSAC requirements for the Fire Marshal standard. We had 16 applicants that submitted an interest in serving on the committee. We put together a group of 11. They have met. They've done quite a bit of work. There's still more work to do, but we don't want to continue down the road until we know for sure that this commission wants to pursue a fire marshal certification, kind of give us the go-ahead to continue. Similar situation with the technical rescue. We had 37 applicants, which is the most that we've ever had for any group. Out of that, we picked 28, and we broke them into three different groups. We have a group for rope rescue, we have a group for surface water rescue, and we have a group for vehicle extrication. We are intending to, or hoping to, move forward on rope rescue and surface water. Vehicle rescue is a little more complex. There's some other issues that the committee has already identified, so I think that one's going to take a little more time for us to process through. We would like to move forward with rope rescue and also with surface water rescue. I will share with you the timelines that we're have targeted, and clearly they're open for change if you see a desire to make a change. We are here today just to hopefully get the go-ahead to continue on. We would have our documents ready to go to the Firefighter Advisory Committee at their September 15th meeting. Mm-hmm. And then after that, it would come back to you for final approval and get an effective date. Those dates that we are looking at, just for planning purposes, again, these certainly can change if you so desire. The grandfathering period for fire marshal and for rope rescue would start June the 1st of 2023 and would last until April the 30th of 2024. Okay, that is just shy of a year. I want to explain a little bit about why we didn't run it a full year, and the bulk of that has to do with the, how do I say this politely? I don't know that I can. Firefighters are the best at procrastination. Okay, that's on my polite way. So inevitably what happens, they wait till the last minute, and that in turn kind of swamps the agency in processing all the paperwork, the approvals, and setting up exams. So that's what we did, was kind of shorten that window a little bit in an effort to ease some pain on the agency. And the grandfathering period would officially end on June the 1st. So anyone after that would have to go through a program with that's commission approved in order to qualify to earn that commission certification. And just a reminder, these are voluntary certifications. So I just want to make sure everyone is aware of that. This is not a mandatory, it's voluntary. So, with that, I'll be happy to answer any questions. I believe what Candace is handing out now is some of the work that we've done already. This just kind of gives you an idea of our preparedness as we move forward to the Firefighter Advisory Committee in September. So the groups have worked very hard. It's been a lot of good discussion. They will continue to work. There's still test question development that will continue on. But that's our timeline that we're looking at right now.
Okay. Commissioners, any questions or comments for Pat? Yes, sir.
Thank you, Commissioners. I apologize. My name is Gene Center. I'm the operations chief for the City of Richardson Fire Department. I'm here representing my department and my chief, Curtis Poovy. We recognize that these are voluntary certifications and just want to start a conversation with the commission saying that due to both internal and external sources, while voluntary, we'll feel our agency and probably many others will feel compelled to adopt these and put our personnel through. So the cost associated with getting an individual in this is $55 for the testing fee during the grandfathering and then $85. So effectively $140 per person. What we're asking is just continued consideration from you on these dates. We haven't budgeted for this. We need the opportunity to be able to prepare a budget. My agency's not that large. We just did a paperwork, pencil and paper, and it looks like it's going to be $20,000 for us to be able to get our persons who are already trained certified with the state. While we do recognize that it is voluntary, there's a lot of tertiary groups that look in our city wherein the expectation is going to be higher. Plus, we have individuals inside that won't be certified. So as this goes forward, just the request to the committee is that we consider in such a way that we push this grandfathering out to where agencies have the opportunity to put that into budgets. Like the old saying goes, surprises are great on your birthday, they're terrible in your budget. So we just want to have that foresight knowing that it's coming so we can get those dollars represented. Thank you.
Thank you, Chief. Any
I'll
other comments?
Pat already said it, but the grandfathering period, while it's necessary and I think we support it, from the agency standpoint, we just don't need it to end at the end of the year. So if we can offset it from the end of the year, that's going to help us a lot in being able to process those because most of the requests come during the end of that period. And if that falls in December, we can't keep up.
Commissioner Cody.
The only thing I would add is given the fact that the majority of local government's budget from October to October, putting something in mid-cycle is usually not good. It's bad for planning, bad for business. We've all had unfunded mandates dropped on us in the past, and to prevent that from happening, I agree with what Pat has recommended, what the Chief just brought forward, and also what Chief Wisco said, which is basically deferring this to at a minimum of October 2024 before it's implemented. Or whatever date is appropriate for the commission's staff.
As far as staff's concerned, as long as it doesn't start or end at the beginning or the end of the year, we're all right. So if we want to do it mid-year and we want to figure out how that works for budgeting, I mean, maybe we do an April-to-April thing so folks have time to see it, budget for it, and they can have the funds before that grandfather period ends. Something like that might work. I realize that may be slowing this down a little bit. It is a voluntary cert, and as you said it earlier, I don't think we're in a hurry.
Again, we've been talking about the fire marshal one's relatively new, but these rescue certifications, we've been talking about them for years, and I can remember it really starting and getting some momentum back when Chris Keneally was the chair of this committee, and that's been a little while. And so, again, there's no rush as far as I'm concerned. We're making progress on this, and I'm excited to see that. And Pat, I want to say thanks to you and your group for taking the time, and I realize the undertaking that we put on you here. But you guys are running the flag down the field, and I appreciate that. It's a big step for this commission, and I'm happy to see it finally getting some traction.
I think there's going to be a great deal of demand for it, though.
And so I think it's a great opportunity for the firefighters in the state of Texas.
We need to get that grandfather period right. It's going to get busy.
Yeah. So, having made that comment, does anyone, Commissioner Coatney, do you want to stand on your recommendation for the date, the grandfathering period?
I'd make a motion, yes.
I'd say the date.
Okay, well, so I want to clarify, if I may.
Yeah, go ahead.
Did you say you prefer April to April? That'd be April 24 then, not October 23. Is that what you're thinking, Chief?
I guess it really depends on when it's going to be ready, and I don't know that we're certain of that.
We'll be ready sooner than later. And what I'm hearing is we need to implement this later. So I don't worry about us. Okay. I would prefer some direction either from this group, or perhaps if our stakeholders want to send in some proposed dates, and then you guys get back with us and tell us when you want to do it, that's fine too. But we'll manage whichever one, because what I'm hearing is you want to push this a little further down the road.
Got no heartburn with pushing it further out.
Yeah.
As far as I'm concerned.
And I'm not, I guess I'm not so sure in hearing what Pat's saying. I don't know that you need to set a date for when it goes effective right now, because I don't think they're really
ready. We're not there
yet.
He's
not standing there saying it's ready. he just was talking about that, and the concern was brought up. I think it's something we need to keep in mind. I can tell you from the staff standpoint, we're not going to let you forget that we don't want this ending in December. We'll stand our ground on that.
Commissioner Glean.
Then what I'm hearing, I agree that if it's not a rush, we don't need to push it out. We can push it out. I think what is important for our stakeholders, and especially those here in the room, is to hear just, I think, the consensus that the commissioners and the staff are, that we're not wanting, we understand the impact municipal budgeting, and we understand the fact that decision packages are already, fire chiefs have already put in their decision packages for budgets that are going to get voted on in September and go into effect this October. So the horse is already out of the barn as far as for this year for a city like Richardson to have to come up with $20,000. So I think it, at a minimum, just for the stakeholders to hear, to understand and be rest at ease that we hear you and we agree with you, and that we understand that we want this to move forward, but we don't want to have a negative impact because the legislature does enough unfunded mandating to our budgets that affect all of us on both labor and management.
So I'll just clarify. Once this comes to you all for final adoption, you have the ability to recommend an implementation date. Right now, automatically, there's a 20-day delay. But if you wish to extend that or make it longer, you could do that at that time. So I'm not sure you need to take action today, because they don't even have a document ready to move forward. But once they bring it and we reach that final adoption day, when we're sitting here about to, you're going to say, yeah, we want to do this, let's go, you can specify an adoption date. And you can go out as far as 365 days.
And, Mr. Chairman, I'm good with that. I think from my perspective, what I'm going to advocate for and be on public record of is anything that results in an increase or a fee that's going to affect local government, we always try to adopt that in the month of October. That way it gives local government an opportunity to plan for that before during their budget cycle.
Okay. Any other comments, questions? So this was listed on here as just an update or a report. What needs to happen? What do you need from us, Pat, to continue moving this forward? Do you need?
I would think that this group would make a recommendation that we continue work developing a proposed curriculum and associated rules, because that's what's involved here. We have some new certifications, so we're going to need some rules with those. And if you're looking at 2024, then we probably don't need to take our information to Firefighter Advisory Committee until December meeting at the earliest, maybe their March meeting. And then have some date in 2024 be kind of our startup. That's basically what I'm hearing. Is that correct?
Yeah, I don't think there's any need for any. There's not on here as an action item, but just basically for you to garner the support that we appreciate what you've done thus far and keep marching forward.
Exactly.
Is that the consensus of the commission?
Sure.
Okay.
And we'll help work on a date that's suitable. Got no problem doing that.
Okay. Anything else, commissioners, on this topic? All right. Pat, thank you. All right, we're circling back to item 15.
Review of 2021 data collected regarding firefighter injuries and the development of recommendations to be submitted to the State Fire Marshal's Office for inclusion in its annual report.
Good morning, everyone, or hello. Is this microphone working?
Yes.
Okay, good. I'm going to try to speak and use the laptop at the same time, so bear with me here. Let's see. So everybody can see it. So you have the injury report for 2021 in front of you. This is actually the second time that y'all are looking at it. And since the first time that you looked at it, the numbers have been updated because between the time that I first ran the numbers in January and this time that I ran them at the end of June, of course, more injury reports from 2021 continued to come in. So the numbers reflected in this version of the report have generally increased, but there isn't any change in trends. But just so you know, that's really what has changed. And does anybody want to talk about anything in the report before I go to the recommendations from the Firefighter Advisory Committee?
I will just say, Grace, that after reading the report, and we've already had some comments on this, it was very thorough, very in-depth, and I believe that it's going to have huge value for our firefighters to review it as part of their continuing education requirements. Thank you for the time you and your staff put in on this.
So each of you should have a handout. It's just a one-pager. At the top it says FFAG recommendations from the commission and the Firefighter Advisory Committee's recommendations from their meeting last month. The top half of the page, we have the recommendations for the Texas Fire Service, and those will be included in the final version of the report. Four recommendations, and I'll just go ahead and read them for the audience. The first recommendation from the advisory committee is NFPA 1851, Standard on Selection, Care, and Maintenance of Protective Ensemble. Structural firefighting and proximity firefighting is required by state law. They just wanted that to be reflected in the report. Recommendation number two, review the following updated legislation. Texas Government Code 607, which is about benefits relating to certain diseases and illnesses. HB 2073 from legislative session 87R. This is regarding quarantine leave. House Bill HB 2143, legislative session 86R. This is related to workers' compensation and PTSD. And then also Senate Bill 22, Legislative Session 87R, regarding presumptive claims for benefits. Just hold it. Thanks. So the Firefighter Advisory Committee is recommending that the Texas Fire Service review all of this updated legislation. And then their third recommendation is to continually review and practice roadway safety and traffic incident management practices. And their fourth recommendation, review all of your department's SOPs with a focus on injury prevention. So these are their recommendations to you, because what you actually need to do today is come up with recommendations for the fire service to be included in the report. Then on the second half of the sheet, those are basically recommendations for me to improve the report. So adding a new type of injury category to capture data related to traffic incident injuries. And then a couple of technical changes, like adding a sentence to the first paragraph of the executive summary, blah, 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 And then switching around the order of a couple of the reports in there. So just to reiterate, what y'all need to do is give me some recommendations to put in the report, and these are recommendations for the Texas Fire Service.
Mr. Chairman, I'll make a motion that we use the recommendations from the Firefighter Advisory Committee to put them to the report.
I have a motion by Commissioner Jones to use the language already provided by Firefighter Advisory for the report. Second by Commissioner Vandegrift, is that correct? Any other discussion or question? All right. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? That motion passes. Thank you, Grace. Okay.
Good night.
16, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Matters from the agency chief. A, update regarding agency duties and responsibilities. B, decisions of agency chief in contested cases and consent orders. C, status regarding division's functions. 1, training and approval, training approval and testing, test administered training approvals, record reviews, and online training audits. 2, certification and professional development, training applications, IFSAC seals issued, certifications issued, training facilities, curriculum development, library resources request. 3, compliance, biannual inspections, compliance officer training, issues involving regulated entities. 4, information technology, public website design, farm and FIDO improvements, CAPS, central, accounting, payroll, personnel system, IT security policy, and service request.
All right, Commissioners, under A, quick update of some things that have happened around here. Since your April meeting, as you're all aware, we're engaged now with TIFMIS. When they reach a certain level, we send an agency rep to the Forest Service EOC to assist with the coordination of those strike teams. We've done that three times since May the 1st. And I think clearly, and based on what Chief Moore had said earlier, we'll be doing some more of that, so pretty quick. We had two staff participate in the state hurricane drill back in June. That went very well, and that was a partnership more or less at the table with the Texas Forest Service. We've conducted 6 more regional meetings since April. We've been to Longview, Mesquite, Fort Worth, San Angelo, Amarillo, and Wichita Falls. And I have to tell you that not only have the meetings gone well, it's been very refreshing and appreciated to have as many commissioners as we've had show up for each of these meetings. And it's gone a long way with the stakeholders to have access not only to the staff but some of the commissioners and have some good conversation on issues that are relevant to everybody. We've also had a presence at several conferences. Seems like once COVID kind of ended, all the conferences happened at one time. So in the month of May, we attended the TEEKS leadership, the TAFE conference, the TDEM conference at the end of May and end of June. SFFMA was in Beaumont a couple weeks ago. And I also was invited and attended the Illinois Fire Chiefs Conference, which allowed us an opportunity to have conversations with Illinois about reciprocity, because that's one of the states that we don't currently have it with, and it's going to be a challenge. So we had some really good conversation while I was there about how we can get started on working through that. So that worked out well. Agenda item B, there's nothing to report. There's been no contested cases. And for agenda item C, you see reports from each division. I'm willing to, or happy to answer any questions you might have about any of that, but I do need to point out that we have a interim certification division chief right now, T.C. Ryan. Wave your hand. I told him he was going to have to sit in a chair in the middle of the room, but we didn't do that to him. But TC stepped up and helped fill a vacancy that we've got right now, and we're going to work through that. So are there any questions about any of the information in item C?
Commissioners, any questions? Okay, seeing none. Thank you for that report.
Thank you.
Number 17?
Yeah.
17, personnel matters regarding the appointment, employment, compensation, evaluation, reassignment, and duties of the agency chief.
Commissioners, we are going to go into an executive session on this item, but before we do, is there anything that any one of you would like to have public comment on with any one of these topics? Okay. Hearing none. So let me do my little formatting thing here. All right, this is for the audience. So it is 12:06 p.m. on July the 14th, 2022. At this time, the commission will go into a closed session pursuant to Government Code Section 551.074 to discuss personnel matters under Agenda Item 17. The commission requests that all non-commission members leave the room except for legal counsel and Chief Wisco and Ms. Kahn. So if you will, please excuse us, and thank you all for being here. If you don't come back, if you're going to head on to lunch, we appreciate the group here being here today and all the comments that everybody got up and made, the ones of you that did. You're welcome to come back for the end.
Welcome back. See you.
Yeah. Y'all hurry back now.
Welcome back.
They're going to get
welcome back, Carter.
Time.
Yeah, they're going to
I think I got a minute.
Yeah.
Getting it done.
You might need to go to the restroom real quick.
We are. My name's Stephen Butte.
If y'all just make a quick trip, we'll try and get y'all out of here soon.
The mic's on.
It is 12:35 p.m. on July the 14th, 2022, and the commission is now in open session. No action was taken in closed session. So that being said, we are to item number 18.
Adjourn meeting.
Amanda, are you going to pass around our stuff we all got to sign 37 times, all the action?
That's non-existent anymore.
That's an unnecessary practice that we can discontinue.
There you go.
Motion to adjourn.
I have a motion by Commissioner Wilson, second by Commissioner Cody to adjourn. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion passes. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for your time today. I appreciate it. I know we went into lunch, but wanted to get this done. Thank you.